way. He didn't think the cowboy'd ever get through, so he could lose them corn cob.
You know, good morning, first of all. Hi, I'm Tom. It's hot and cold. You knew that. Way back when I was in college, I did a radio program. And you may find this hard to believe. You'll find this hard to believe. I had people criticize the music. I don't know if I played corncob blues for them, but, you know, maybe that was the missing factor back then. That was it. So we got about an inch of snow down to see us, but I was pretty impressed. I thought it looked kind of, I looked out upstairs window. I thought, look, it's kind of bright outside. Is there a car in the driveway or something? I went downstairs and something going on out here. And it was still dark out. And I put the light on. I said, oh, it snowed. It's March in Maine. We still got it. What? Next Saturday is the first day of spring. Well, we must do something special. I'm not sure what, but we'll figure it out. I got a whole week to work on that. Okay, so it's been a very eventful week. First of all, going back a full week from today, you remember I told you about the golf cart I got from my buddy Kurt that didn't run? Well, guess who got the golf cart running last Saturday afternoon? You're listening to him on the radio. And it has no seat. So I put a rubber floor mat on top of the batteries. I'm driving around, you know, like, you know, it makes me look like I'm really short. My hands are up high on the steering wheel. And I got the batteries to come back to life. And they're holding a charge and they're running. And I get a chance. I haven't had time all week. It's been a busy week. I'm going to put a seat in it and make it whole. I had to put a key switch in, which I did, and it's getting there. So, and, you know, the thing is, if you've been in our parking lot, it's kind of jammed up. So all I could do is drive in circles. And it's not big circles. These are small circles. And I just wonder about people who drive by our place and look in and see, you know, me on the sitting on a rubber mat on top of a bunch of 6-volt batteries. Anyway, so it goes. So I've been very proud of that moment when I got the thing working. The other thing we discussed last week, and I had some kind text messages offering to lend me a sanding machine for doing drywall. So last Saturday, I said, okay, I've got to get this godforsaken drywall done. I will go, I had sanders, you know, I had regular hand sander that you would use. I've used sponges where you wet sand it, kind of with sponges. And I started doing it, and I said, you know what, this is not my idea of any kind of fun. It's going to make a big mess. So I got online. I started shopping for the vacuum, the big sander that has hooks to a shop vac. And I wound up buying a cheap Chinese one on eBay for $108. And it came yesterday, just in time for the weekend. So I assembled it. It was lunchtime. I assembled it during lunchtime and needed to get home to try this out. So usually I get home and I'm ready. You know, it's been, yesterday was a really busy day, but I had the adrenaline going. I had this machine. So I brought it into the addition. I have a little shop vac there, and it hooked right up to the hose. I turned that sucker on, and I want to tell you, the folks who told me to get one, you're right. Boy, they work great. So I was done with the entire ceiling and most of the walls in the bathroom, which I drywalled, in about 20 minutes, and it looks fantastic. I'm very impressed. It was a good news, bad news thing, though, in that the shop vac was a little shop vac, and it's this thing spilled dust everywhere. So I still had a mess to clean up, which I cleaned up last night, which was good. It wasn't as bad as not having a vacuum going. And I opened the windows. There was a nice breeze going yesterday. The breeze with the way the windows are set up is some cross ventilation. So some of it went outside. A lot of it stayed inside. So it forced me to clean the room out because the ceiling is done. And I can now, are you ready for this? I can now paint the ceiling. Holy mackerel. I've put this off for so long. So anyway, great progress. Very impressed with the machine. I might do a little more touch up with the machine. I took my glasses off. I had a face mask on. And there were points where it was a whiteout condition, especially in the bathroom, which is a small room. So there were some areas I didn't see that I hadn't done in the bathroom that I have to touch up with the machine. I may do it by hand, but I'll probably use the machine just because I have a machine. I have to use it. But, oh, my God, it's so smooth, and it looks so perfect. And it's, you know, we've got an idiot running the machine, and it still came out perfect. You know, you can't beat that with a stick. I don't care who you are. And well worth the money. And I will try it with the bigger shop vac just to see if it spills, how much dust it actually spills. I know that was the limiting factor. But I was quite impressed. And somebody out there in Radio Land offered to lend me their machine. I appreciate the offer. And it got me thinking seriously about it, and for good reason. It was good advice, and I knew it would work. I'd read enough reviews in the past, but you know, sometimes you just have to. For $108, I couldn't pay somebody $108 to come in and make the mess that they would make doing it. It would have cost, you know, three times that probably to have it done, and then they would have criticized my drywalling. But it really came out nice. I'm very pleased. And speaking of nice, we got to take a break. It's already 8:15, and we got a lot to talk about. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. You're there. I'm here. What could be better than that? Oh, Bella Fleck on the banjo. Oh, of course. Back 8:19. It's hot and cold on Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Was it 1964 the Beatles were on Sullivan? So what is that's a long time ago. 50 years ago would be 14, but there's 55 years ago? Wow. There's people younger than that. People don't remember that. Wow. I remember it. My cousin who was 16 years older than me, I was like, what, 12? Had just gotten married, didn't live too far away from us. They didn't have a TV, and she wanted to see the Beatles. We had a TV, and she and her husband came over our house, and her husband was making fun. He was country music kind of guy. And he was making fun of the Beatles, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "This seems kind of important. This is different." So remember it like it was yesterday, almost, not quite. A couple of text messages have come in on 601-207-4478. Bagging a shop vac makes all the difference. It wasn't the shop vac that was the issue. It was the suction from the shop vac. This is a very small shop vac that I got for cleaning up messes I was making in the basement when I was working with wood boilers. And it was woefully inadequate, but I wasn't going to wait. And I didn't. And the rest, as they say, is history. Tom got a new neighbor from away. He cleans the outside metal stovepipe two times a week when it's roaring hot with a pole and a rag. Metal damage, right? Ruined pipe. I don't know. You know, if you have a fire, if you've got flame going up the pipe, you're going to damage it. Metal asbestos pipes or insulated metal chimneys can take a lot of thermal abuse. I'm not sure the pole and the rag is an issue. It's kind of a fluky thing to be running, doing that while you've got a ripping fire going. That I think is a little unusual. 57 years ago, thank you. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Now, I was trying to do the math here, and it just wasn't because when I have to talk and do math at the same time, that could sometimes be a challenge. So, let's see. Of course, now the sanding is almost all done, so I went and got ceiling paint today. I'm going to do the ceiling paint. My wife put forth the question, not necessarily for these projects I'm doing at home right now, but for work. Why don't I have a Tyvek suit? And the reason she asked that question is because most of my clothing has been ruined with undercoating, oil, brake fluid, mud. But there's not that many circumstances where I need, having a Tyvek suit. Well, first of all, prancing around in a Tyvek suit all day is not my idea of a good time. Excuse me, and it would not necessarily present well. Now, I've entertained the thought of wearing a lab coat around work, but that was more when I was doing stuff related to experiments and things, testing wood boilers and stuff. I thought a lab coat said Muppet Labs would be just a thing, but that hasn't happened either. So I've got the paint. Got primer for the drywall. I got paint. I'm going to do the ceiling. Once the ceiling's done, I've got ceiling trim to put up. And I've got to paint the walls. And then start putting the floor down. I'm wrapping this sucker up, man. You may find it hard to believe, being as I started last June, that my dear wife is questioning when it's going to be done. And for good reason. Especially those evenings when I might come home, and if Curse of Oak Island is on, I have to sleep through it, so nothing gets accomplished on Tuesday nights. Which, by the way, they found a wooden stake on the Curse of Oak Island this week. It's just getting better. Let's see. I started working on my heating system. I finally have. That was the other question my dear wife has asked me. She said, "Well, if we're going to be finishing up the house, if we consider selling it, what about the heating system? Because I've said I have to redo the heating system. I've got all kinds of different things I've done, so I've kind of ignored that all winter. Because the joy of tearing into the heating system during the heating season has escaped me." There was a time I would do it with great relish, and not anymore. So, but I mulled it over for the entire season and figured out what I'm going to do. So I actually started plumbing that one night when I didn't want to do anything else, which was most of the week because I was just waiting for my sander to come. I mean, we can't do anything till the sander gets here. So I'm going to go take a nap. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Why don't we do this and go to the phones? Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, that nice day we had the other day, I was thinking about the passive solar, like people used to do with the black boxes on their house or next to their house.
Mm-hmm.
I put a thermometer out in front of the house. Just laid it right on the cold ground. There wasn't any snow there. And my God, that needle went up to 100.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I got to do a passive solar. The hell with the solar like this? Just a big black box, and you let they have a fan and it blows into the house? Is that how they used to work?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways to approach it. And there's a lot of plans out there for making what we call a solar air collector. And you could use something like black colored or black painted metal roofing as the absorber inside a case that's glazed with something. Could be glass, could be old windows, could be plastic. You can buy them pre-made, and they're stupidly expensive for what is a very simple device. Basically just something black that is behind glazing. And you saw without glazing, it gets hot enough. With glazing, it gets hotter. Is it worth it? I'm not sure. I mean, you got to make the thing, got to put a fan, you're poking a hole through the wall or a window or something. I think as a retrofit, yeah, if you want to have a fun project, absolutely. On a sunny day, it's going to throw a lot of heat in, depending on how big it is. And the area that intercepts sunlight, the size of the surface is very important. If I was looking at this from a construction point of view, I'm building a new house, I would be focusing more on windows on the south side. This is just kind of a common sense thing. Fewer windows on the north side, not losing all windows, but fewer windows. You still want to get some light in north-facing rooms. West-facing rooms tend to overheat in the afternoon sun, so you don't go crazy over-glazing the west side of the building. And the east side, there's some standard rules of thumb out there for passive building design, but what makes all that stuff work really well is the thermal envelope of the building. I don't preach insulating heavily just for the sake of the fact I used to sell insulation. There's a real reason for doing that, and that is that it actually makes a big difference. Makes it a lot easier to heat. A day like today, which is windy, where I am especially, the heat's not going to run in my house. And I don't particularly have a lot of south-facing glass on the building, but it'll be off all day. And I'll get home and it'll probably be 74 degrees in the house. So let's see. I fell asleep sitting out in the passive solar. Well, that's good. Yeah, and nothing wrong with that. I'm just looking here. Going back to the Tyvek suit thing, I've gotten to the point where my whole wardrobe, everything I wear, is messed up. And I have shirts I really liked, and the collars have kind of burned through on the neck. And my wife is very upset about these shirts. Well, first of all, it's wintertime. I have a coat over the shirt. Nobody sees the collar. Somebody does see the collar. I mean, I'm, as Pete said a couple of weeks ago, I look like a homeless man when I'm at work. Yeah, kind of. But I'm, usually rolling around on the ground. For a reason, I'm looking at something underneath the car. It is what it is. I do have work clothes at work for if I get really dirty. Like, I don't get dirty enough on a regular basis, but so it goes. We got to take another break. It's already 8:30. If we come back, we'll take more calls at 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 8:36. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Just want to tell you about my friend Alan at General Appliance in Brewer. Over on Center Street, you're open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, you need to check them out at 989-4341. That's 989-4341 is the number to call. The number to remember if you need appliance help. And this is what I put on when I'm, and I've told you this before, but I've belabor the point. I put on the wireless headphones and the Hammond B3 music. It doesn't matter who's playing the Hammond B3 organ. As long as it's got a groove going, I'm there. And let's see, we got some phone calls. The phones are stacking up all of a sudden at 1-800-966-1039. Let's go over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi. Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
Got a couple of insulation questions for you.
Sure.
Well, I've got a wall in my house that's pretty drafty. It's a camp that somebody converted over to a year-rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to gut it out anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom in particular I'm working on. And I'm curious, if I took rigid foam and cut that into the stud cavities tight,
yep,
and either caulked or used expanding foam around the edges,
yep,
would there be any advantage to laying fiberglass in the rest of the stud cavity, or should I just go with the foam and call it good?
Yeah, there is kind of hybridizing two different insulations like that. Does work in the sense that the if the foam is on the outside and then the fiberglass on the inside, the foam acts as a vapor barrier. It also acts as a bumper to keep the stud cavity warm enough that the you don't tend to have much convection occurring inside the fiberglass. What happens if you just fill that with fiberglass, air tends to convect through it and will actually blow through it if you have cracks on the outside. The foam is going to stop that from happening. So if you can get an R10 or greater of foam and then do the rest with fiberglass, that's a good hybrid system. And, of course, the fiberglass is cheaper, so it works well using the two together.
Okay, so put the foam on the outside and then the fiberglass to the inside?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
No vapor barrier, just do your drywall or finished surface, whatever.
Okay, so should I just use open fiberglass rather than the craft face?
It doesn't matter. The facer is there for convenience if it's helpful to you, but you don't have to have it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's that one. Now, the next one, I'm planning on building a garage this year,
mm-hmm.
and I want to insulate under the slab.
Right.
And I'm kind of curious what the best type of foam is. I've asked 3 or 4 different contractors, and I've gotten 6 or 7 different answers.
Yeah. most foams will work under the slab. The concern contractors have is that the foam is going to waterlog or have some issue like that. But here's the deal. If you're building you're building on a slab, especially a garage, you're going to be graded, you'll be above grade to some degree. If you have a moisture issue, the only time that foam picks up water is if it's underwater. And if that happens, you have other issues going on that aren't right or are more concerned than the fact the foam gets wet. The deal is that if foam does get wet, it will dry out. But if it's above grade from the surrounding ground, it's not going to get wet. So you could use then whatever is affordable. It could be recycled foam. It could be the polyiso paper-faced foam. It could be expanded polystyrene. The white beadboard type foam will work. Its compressive strength is not as high, but you know, I think it's 15 or 20 psi. That's pounds per square foot. So a square foot is 144 square inches per square inch. Excuse me. So you've got 144 square inches. So a square foot would carry, you know, 1,500 pounds, 2,000 pounds easy, which you're not going to have. You got rebar. It would just any of those will work fine. And now insulating the perimeter of the slab might be a slightly different story because some of that could be exposed if you do insulate the perimeter. And there I would use styrofoam.
Use styrofoam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to source some recycled material, but I need like 85, 90 sheets of it. I'm not finding much.
Yeah, just keep checking Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. It does show up. There are folks around doing it. We used to do it. We don't anymore.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Let's check the messages for a moment here just to see if we got anything. No, we don't. Okay, let's go over to line 2. Hit the button. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, good morning, Tom.
Hi.
We have a situation in our barn where we
want to put in the heat pump for the winter heating, but it would only be like maybe at a month at a time because we just have visitors a little bit. The barn has rooms in it. And we were thinking, well, is it really economical to put the heat pump in there versus maybe just putting in a small electric furnace that shoots hot air to these two or three rooms? If we're only going to be running it, you know, maybe a month in the winter, not the whole winter. Because we understand that the heat pumps are inefficient and cost a lot of money at the depth of the winter. We were just thinking there might be a good offset just by putting a small electric furnace in instead.
Well, and
we don't have the ability to put oil or wood out there.
I hear you. My suggestions, instead of a furnace, would be to put electric baseboard in, which is very inexpensive to install. You don't have to do any ductwork. You just have a hunk of baseboard in each space. And you're right. If it's the dead of winter, if you're not using it a lot, it might be advantageous. You could certainly, it's cheap enough to put in that you could put it in and always go back and retrofit with the heat pump if you felt the need that you saw your electric bill bump up too much. But electric baseboard is so inexpensive. The fuel is not inexpensive. you're paying more for the electricity, but as opposed to running a heat pump. But in this circumstance, it might make sense. Did you say this is a space that you're building now?
No. It's already built.
Okay.
We've got three bedrooms and then a main small kitchen area.
Okay. You know, it's kind of hard to say without doing a heat load calculation to see where you would be. And if it's the dead of winter, it is going to be expensive to heat. It'll be probably around three times more expensive than running the heat pump. But you're talking, installing the heat pump is at least probably $3,000. Installing baseboard in, say, five rooms, if you're doing it yourself, you know, the cost of the baseboard is probably $300-$400 at the most.
Yeah, that's what we were seeing. You know, the cost for putting the heat pump in is about more like $9,000 for the whole space.
For multiple outlets. Yep.
Right. Exactly. Four outlets. Right. So that's what we were seeing. A very, very small cost for just electric. But we were thinking electric forced hot air, but you're thinking the baseboard.
I would put electric baseboard in. It's cheaper, quicker. You know, why mess with ductwork? There's no need to. If you were doing a different kind of heating system, oil or gas, maybe use ductwork. But in this case, baseboard makes more sense.
Great. Hey, thank you very much. I really appreciate your help.
Okay, good luck. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. Got a text message here. Travel 5 days a week on Route 15 from Guilford to Bangor. What could I expect with a Prius 60 miles per hour top speed? Depends on the Prius, but generally 50 miles per gallon. Again, highway traveling is more efficient, and you know, you're not stopping and starting. Newer Priuses tend to get better gas mileage than older ones. Older ones are still pretty darn good, and you know, we're not talking a big spread, 5 miles per gallon. Really, new ones might get 15 miles per gallon more, just because of the platforms keep getting tweaked and getting better and better in terms of their efficiency. So it's and bigger motors and doing all the things that you would expect would compromise economy, and it ain't happening. So that's good. Let's go back to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi.
Let me turn the radio down. Got a question involving doing a complete new heat install.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a friend of mine that has what amounts to a two-car garage with two and a half or a story and a half of living quarters above it. He's only there a month or so at a time during the winter, and rather than use the wood stove downstairs, he'd like to install hot water baseboard heat similar to a regular furnace, and then rather than use a boiler, an electric hot water heater. Is that idea remotely practical?
I don't think so. If he basically is going to have electric heat, he should just be putting an electric baseboard. There are a couple of downsides to this. One is hot water baseboard is usually designed to work with 180 degree hot water. You don't normally generate that with an electric water heater. I would expect if you modified it so it did heat to 180 degrees, you've certainly avoided the warranty. But I think it would also age prematurely because those are glass-lined steel, and the glass lining, I suspect, would tend to crack, especially where you're turning it off and on, not using it a lot of the time. So you can buy electric boilers that would probably be a better fit if he wants to do hot water baseboard, which obviously would probably be antifreeze. But I think the simple, cheap solution would be to put electric baseboard in, at least to get him started. Again, it's so inexpensive that it's a reasonable fit. The other option I would suggest might be a pellet stove, which you could direct vent out through maybe a gable end wall. If the logistics were right, that would work for you or for him. And that could be a pretty cheap install. You don't necessarily, I mean, there's enough used ones kicking around at this point that it would be a fit, or you get a new one that looks really cool. There's some really fancy stuff out there.
Exactly. And part of the reason he wanted to do this was because he acquired for nothing, so he already has more than enough baseboard to be able to do the entire living quarters.
Yeah.
And so the discussion suddenly became, well, could we use a hot water heater for this?
The place
is quite well insulated.
Yeah.
And he had already realized that he was going to need to upgrade to the commercial grade water elements.
Yeah, I still think, the usual baseboards, unless these are something really fancy, which they probably are not, are designed for 180 degree water. Their performance falls off at around 140 degrees. Electric water heater is made to maybe go to 125. So there's the gap. Now you can compensate for that to some degree with more baseboard, but really, a baseboard, a hot water baseboard, has got a copper tube and it's got fins. And as the water heats up in the tube, the air in between the fins gets heated and rises up through by convection. So the hotter it is, the more convection you get. The taller the baseboard is, the more convection you get. You get a chimney effect. So in theory, you could make it work better if you had a taller housing using low temperature water.
Okay.
So that would be one way around, getting rid of the housing and building something. Is that worth the aggravation? It's still a kind of an experiment. It may not work the way we want it to, but that would be an option. I would prefer to. I would suggest just getting some electric baseboard and throwing it in.
Ah, okay.
It's a lot less.
All right.
It's a lot less hassle. No antifreeze, and it's going to work. It'd be easy peasy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. I have been trying to talk him into doing a heat pump. I put one in this past year myself.
Yep.
For everything that it does, it's an absolute win-win.
Yep.
He's kind of stuck in the mode of, no, I have this stuff. I want to use it.
Well, he could use it. The other option would be to put in a tankless gas water heater and set that up as a boiler. And in that case, you can run it hotter, and you can get the output out of the baseboard that he'd like to see. But, of course, he's not dealing with electric at that point. So that's the trade-off.
Ah, okay.
All right.
Well,
I agree with you.
Much.
I do agree with you about the heat pump, though. That would be the first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, have a good one.
You too. The issue is this. It's short-term use. The problem is it's the dead of winter. And that's not the sweet spot for the heat pump. The heat pump, over the course of a season, performs extraordinarily well. It works in the dead of winter. But you're going to get, as it averages out over the entire heating season, you get some good economy going on there. If it's just going to be, you know, I'm coming up in January to go skiing or something, I'm going to run the heat pump. Yeah, it's kind of a stretch. But also, the cost of running electric baseboard is also going to be kind of a stretch financially. So, again, super insulated building might get you there better. You know, there were folks a couple of years ago talking about really super insulated passive solar buildings that were being built in the area. And they said, well, you know, you could heat it with a hairdryer. Okay, hairdryer's 5,000 BTUs. If it's not sunny out, the building is probably not heating. It's not picking up any passive gain if it's an overcast day in December. So you're running some kind of backup heat. So, okay, so now we're talking electric heat backup in the dead of winter. Does that make sense? It possibly does in that case just because it's a low heat load. But if it's a heat pump, you're ahead of the game because you're operating at a fraction of the electric baseboard. Yes, you have to spend more money. So, yeah, there's no one size fits all. You knew that. You've been listening to the radio show a long time. Hey, I want to mention my buddy Massimo is open in Searsport today till 2, opens at 11, goes to 2. He will be extending his hours at some point, or there's going to be a revolution by a certain half-Italian, half-Hungarian guy who does a radio show. It is coming. They are going to have extended hours in Searsport, and they will be also operating in Belfast fairly soon. So that's coming. And, of course, he's at the farmer's market today as well, selling pizza and paninis. And they got the espresso machine in Searsport. It's not, they haven't provided me with espresso yet. And I've never really had much espresso, but I'm ready. So that's something to look forward to. What else? Oh, you know, we're dealing with cars. When we're not getting Priuses, I seem to head towards Honda Elements. I kind of like them. They're great utility vehicles, so we get them regularly. And I have one with my mechanic, and I had him go over it, and he was doing some brake work. He says, well, we need emergency brake cables. Okay. So I call my local parts store that I deal with. I need emergency brake cables. We don't have a listing. And it's starting to come back to me. I've been down this road before and couldn't find them. Nobody stocks them. The dealer does, but nobody else. And I went around there and I got online. Nobody online had them except for Honda folks. So I finally got it from a Honda dealer. But, you know, that's a kind of a, seems like it would be a common item. And it wasn't. Welcome to my world. You know, I'll be doing something. I'll be working on something myself. And Pete will come out and say, you got a text message. You need some stuff. And then I got to put on my, okay, where am I going to get the parts from that make sense? And go ahead and get them. And that's what I, and so goes my day. And occasionally I get to ride the golf cart around. Anyway, we got to take a break. It's 8:55. It's hour number one has gone bye-bye. Hour number two will come. Pete said, I may not be on tomorrow because I got customers coming in. We should be so fortunate. Or unfortunate, I'm not sure which it is. But we'll take it either way. And it's hot and cold, and we'll be back in a little bit. Stay with us. It's 9:06, and this is the reason my hearing is going, because I had to turn that up, and I got the headphones on, and they have to have the volume. That's all there is to it. It's a hot and cold Saturday morning, hour number two. Good morning, I'm Tom. Hopefully we'll have Pete in with us in a little while. Excuse me. Our buddy Papa Bear up in Sangerville has put together a treat, not for this week, but coming soon. We're going to have on the show with us Wayne Carini from Chasing Classic Cars. Wayne Carini, if you don't know this show, you should look it up on the YouTube, because this guy gets to mess around with the coolest cars in the universe. He hangs around at Pebble Beach with guys like Jay Leno and stuff. I mean, he is the classic car guy. Everybody knows Wayne Carini if they know classic cars, and I discovered him from a TV show. I've seen him on and off in different shows over the years. I didn't know who he was. It's just that guy with the mustache. But Tom knows him up in Sangerville, and these two guys have known each other forever, Papa Bear and Wayne Carini, and they will both be on the show with me in the next couple of weeks. So that's something. I appreciate Papa Bear putting that together. It's going to be fun. And like I said, stories are going to be good. If you're into car stories, and you don't have to be into cars as much as just stories about things breaking down. And now I'm talking about like 1906 something breaking down. And Wayne did tell me, we spoke the other day, he's got a Waverly Electric and a Baker Electric coming in the shop. And I am so freaking jealous. You have no idea. I just, if I'm going to geek out on something, that's going to be it. So our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. Mud season has arrived at my place of business. And I don't think we had enough freezing overnight to make a difference. I was walking up towards the garage where the overhead door was. I had it open yesterday. It was a nice day. And all of a sudden, my foot is sinking into the ground like I'm in quicksand. And I had not noticed that. It never happened before. Like, oh, okay, make note of this spot. Do not step here. Pete noticed. He said, what's that? I said, it's mud. So it's the season is upon us, at least in the coastal environs. I'm sure up in Fort Kent, it's not an issue yet. But down here, it is. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Our text line, 601-207-4478, if you would like to participate this fine Saturday morning, or if you have some questions about energy, home improvements, and other associated things, that's what we're here for. I'm getting to the point where I don't need to make lists anymore when I go to Home Depot, because I don't need that much stuff. last night, as I was vacuuming up all the dust from doing the ceiling that had spilled, I started triaging what tools I need to retain in the addition, knowing that I'm going to start painting, so then I can spill paint on things. So let's get this stuff out of the way. So as I did that, I put everything in the dining room. So my wife didn't. I'm not sure it really resonated with her last night. I have a feeling today when I get home, the question will come, how long is this stuff going to be here for? And most of it is going to go back to the shop. And I had as a lofty goal this week to start straightening up stuff on shelves in the shop, because I can find stuff, but it sometimes takes a while, and sometimes I have to enlist help to have two sets of eyes looking for things. And I mentioned to Pete, the dumpster gets emptied next week, and then we're going in hammer and tong into the shop to start straightening stuff out. There's certain things. I'll give you an example. I had my brother-in-law's car needed a new center display, so I brought the car down. There were a couple other things I wanted to check out. So his center display, this is a second-generation Prius, I think it's an 05. I got the car for him, it would say Lexus on it when the car would start up, and then it would work normally. So obviously something was probably not quite right. Well, it eventually failed, and you cannot really operate the car very well without that display. And he did for a while, God bless him, but it was time to change it. So I took the old display out. Now, the typical thing for me to do would be to take that old display and put it on the floor. That being an area, an area where I know there is something wrong with this, but we can't quite throw it out yet. That ship has sailed, boys and girls. It went in the dumpster. I recycle as much stuff as I can. That one went bye-bye. And probably should be an electronic recycler, except I can't pile it up that high for that long. And I've got, as I clean the shop, I will recycle everything we can. And then I had another one. A car comes in. I bought last week. It's a high-mile Prius. It's going to be a cheap date car. And it had a rear lens taillight that was broken. Somebody put tape on it. So I got to replace it. So I grab one to put in, and I proceed to break it as I'm putting it in, which is pretty hard to do, but I'm accomplished at this, apparently. So I broke it, and I actually pulled the one that I broke off of a car that we're getting rid of. So I then went to the shelf where I had like eight of them sitting there. And somebody came, I had people looking for parts this week. And, of course, I've got all the parts except what they needed. But that's the way it goes. Anyway, I want to get phone again. 1-800-966-1039. The text is 601. 601-207-4478. It's okay. I will remember. I've got an old Mercedes SUV that I've got somebody is going to take for monkeying around with, and I went to start it. And it has started all the time. We disconnected the 12-volt battery on it, and of course now it won't start. And I think the reason it won't start is because I was coming over with the truck. I have a Ford truck with big battery in it, and I think I got a set of jumper cables that the connectors aren't good on. And got a car that I rooting around in this week that we had bought. And there's a beautiful brand new set of jumper cables. It was like Christmas. It was just so. I'm going to take that over to the Mercedes, and it's going to. If it starts up, the old cables are going over to Kurt to be recycled. Back to the phones we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. Hi. Just a question in general. Your experience with insulation. Have you? What else have you found either boric acid or borated products in besides cellulose?
The only other products I've seen it used in is wood as a wood preservative, but not no other insulation materials.
Okay, well, just maybe something new for you. There's a firm out in like Utah that has been for several years, maybe longer than that. They've been basically getting sheep's wool from, I think it's New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And they clean it up over there. They send it over here. They put like something like 8% boric acid or some kind of borated compound. And then they sell it for insulation.
Yeah.
I've used it once. And it's very good. It's very easy to use. And the nicest thing about it for me and why I used it for this was because it you don't have to worry about breathing, basically.
Yep.
Because all the sheep wool fibers are very, very long, so they're not going to get into your lungs as opposed to shorter stuff like fiberglass or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, I was just curious, why don't like one of the styrofoam, the blue board companies, why don't they throw some boric acid in their stuff?
I don't think they need to. The boric acid is there to keep critters out and I think keep it from molding, but primarily
and insects. Yeah.
And
I thought they a lot of them just got chewed up a lot over the
years.
Well,
they can but I have a feeling it has more to do with the chemistry, that it doesn't blend well. The beauty of cellulose is you can soak it or blend it with boric acid easily, because it's a fluffy insulation as opposed to a rigid one. There were, over the years, people have tried treating plastic foams with different materials to keep them more insect-proof, but it doesn't happen that frequently that it's a major issue, but it does happen on occasion. There's somebody recently I saw that was talking about it. They had some kind of treated foam, but it would be ideal, but it's nothing that has made it very far down the road. The other one that's similar maybe to the sheep wool insulation is the denim insulation, which is made out of cotton. And they make it out of the denim leftovers, so to speak, and they shred it up, and it looks about the same density as the wool insulation. That might be treated with borates, if my memory serves me right. And it's blue, but I love the way the wool insulation looks as well as the denim. How expensive was it?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. It's not something you'd want to do for. I only bought like 10 or 11 rolls of it,
mm-hmm.
which they were around 40 or 50 pounds each,
mm-hmm.
weight wise.
Yeah.
And it was $30 extra per roll, just for the shipping.
Wow.
It was very expensive. But if you get someone that has lung conditions,
yep.
Like the situation I had, I was doing it for my brother, and it's the kind of thing. Well, this is gold. I mean, you know,
yep.
It's either, you know, so and it's very easy to put in. That was also why I liked it.
Yep.
I mean, it just that denim stuff. Do you know anything about how people put it in? Did you need a mask?
I think it's the same kind of deal as with the wool. Google denim insulation. You'll see it. It's obviously blue.
what area of the country does it?
It's all over the country now. You can get it anywhere. I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Making it.
Oh, I don't know where they make it. I guess wherever they make denim. I really don't know, to be honest with you. I know you pay a little bit of a premium for it, so I wasn't paying too much attention to it. I try to avoid fluffy insulation, but I think the density is appealing. Certainly the usability is, similar. You're not going to have itch issues, and it works well. So I got to take a break.
Cool.
Thank you for your call.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay, see ya. Bye-bye. Yeah, we got to take a quick break here. This guy, he's it takes him a while to get started here, but it's worth the wait.
Nah, I'll just slow it down.
Okay.
With a bullet.
We're on.
My thumb gets in my eye. Well, Roger, come on. Well, kiss my Carl. I wish I put that thumb somewhere. You're so afraid your friends are gonna see you with men. Baby, I wish they would.
Hey, we're back. It's 9:25, and the music tells you that the classic part of the program is about to start. We got Pete on line number 3. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
How are you?
You know, I don't know about everybody else, but when I get up in the morning, there's just that very light, you know, that very just like thin dust of snow on things.
Yep.
That just ruins my mood for the rest of the day.
Oh, dear.
I don't like it. It bothers me. It just annoys me. It's like, knock it off. We're done. We're done with this. I don't care if it's going to melt. I don't care if it just bugs me.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's my morning.
I accept that. I thought it was pretty. I thought it didn't bother me. I didn't have to plow it, so I'm okay. It'll melt.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't even be looking at it. It's mid-March.
Here's the thing. I think the
Here's the thing.
The warm, yesterday, warm, windy day, everything should have melted. It all didn't. A lot of it did. And I want the ground to start drying out. And, of course, now we've got an inch of snow, which is not much. But I'll feel better when it disappears and goes back to drying the mud.
I was remarking just yesterday that it's interesting how wet our lot gets.
Yeah. Well, that's going to change this year. By Godfrey, yeah. This is the year home improvements.
I'm going to go to the town place down there, and I'm going to start getting 5 gallon buckets of sand. I'm going to start filling it up.
Gonna take a lot
for
of
town use. I get to use it. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah,
pay a lot of taxes in the town we're in.
Yeah, well,
oh, so it goes
pretty much anywhere at this point.
True. So I tell you what, we've got a phone call coming in, so why don't we take the call and then we'll chat in between. Between calls. That's the deal, huh? Good morning, you're on the Voice of Maine.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
I have a 2015 Chevy Sonic, and ever since I've got it, I've always topped off the gas tank. And, when I first got the car, I was getting 40 miles a gallon. And anyway, it went down to about 32. So about a month ago, I decided to stop topping off the gas tank. And my mileage has probably increased 5 or 6 miles a gallon. Does that make any sense?
I'll be honest. I'm not real up on that part of the, or certainly those cars, but I do know that in terms of topping off the tank, it does affect the emissions control system on the tank. So that may have an effect in terms of maybe you're overwhelming the ventilation system on the gas tank. And I'm just blowing hot air right now, but thinking that could be the issue. Maybe somebody out there can comment on whether that would have an effect. But I know it has a – if you go over the – click, so to speak, you can do some damage to that emissions control system, which is voodoo to me, but if it's broken, I ask somebody to fix it for me. But it wouldn't surprise me that it is better.
Yeah, well, I've been doing this almost 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, twice the check engine light has come on.
Mm-hmm.
And the gas gauge, which is digital, stopped working.
Mm.
And 2 or 3 days later, I go over a bump or a pothole, and the gas gauge would come back on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, anyway, I think you're right. You definitely shouldn't top off the tank.
Yep.
Like I said, I've been doing it for 6 years, but I just, about a month ago, I stopped.
Yep. Well,
and the mileage has improved. I just wanted to run that by you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. We'll put it out there. If anybody else has a comment on it, we'll certainly repeat it. The gas gauges do tend to get stuck, and we've dealt with that a lot. Probably unrelated, but got a whole bunch of text messages came in the meantime. I saw a can of spray foam in Hammond Lumber that was rodent repellent as well. Never seen that before. Yep. I have not seen that, but that sounds like a good thing. Good morning, Tom. When you framed your addition, did you use your wall panel system? If you didn't, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I didn't because I wanted – I did it differently. I thought it would be quicker this way and allow me to adjust as I went along because whoever put the slab in anytime this guy I know puts slabs in, kind of messes them up a little bit, so I could adjust the framing.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, you. Okay. Thanks, Pete. You know. So what I did do is I framed with 2x4s. I balloon framed because we have a crawl space, and on the outside of the studs, I put 2 inches of foam, and then I cut and fit foam into the stud bay as well. So it's 2x4, 16 inches on center. A continuous layer of foam on the outside, which is now sheathed, and then of course siding on top of that. So it's different, but similar in some ways, in that we have a contiguous layer of of foam to cut the thermal bridging. Got one here. Let's see. If I install vinyl siding on my home 2x4 frame with fiberglass insulation, I was thinking of 1-inch polyiso over the sheathing of the home and 1/2 inch for the garage portion. Is it a reasonable plan, or should I go with more insulation? More is always better. It's a question now of details around windows and doors. If you're replacing the windows and doors at the same time, and you can move them out, I would say, there is cost associated with foam depending on where you get it. 2 inch is ideal. Anything over 1 inch is good. The 1/2 inch, it tends to be kind of pricey if you look at it, and price per R value. So I would suggest certainly just going with 1 inch over the garage as well while you have it. This is the one shot you got to do it.
Isn't your thermal envelope better if you leave the window recessed and you box it out?
No. Well, yeah, maybe, but there's more potential for leaks, you know, around.
Not if I do it.
Yeah. So it really is more appropriate. I've seen a lot of people, very professional folks, leave the windows recessed and trim out around them. Scares the hell out of me, because if it's going to leak, it's going to leak. If there's a potential to have a leak, you know it's going to happen.
It sounds like you ad hoc just called me a professional person.
I have my moments of weakness.
Yeah.
So we got to take a break, though. So let's do that. When we come back, we'll take some more calls with Pete. And it is hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us. Back. It is 9:37. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. And Pete, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Me.
Nobody's coming to buy anything yet?
No, I'm just staring out the windows.
Oh, boy, you know.
I do have people coming in today. I got somebody coming to look at the C-Max, and then I've got a couple of cars getting picked up. What's going to happen is everything's going to happen at once. Everybody's going to show up at the exact same time.
Yep.
Because the lot's all mud, and we're full up on cars, so it's crowded. And
yep.
Everybody's going to want to stand around and be like, well, what's the... You know. I'm trying to get you to take...
Well, that's encouraging people to come in. So, first of all, let's start with the important stuff. What do you think of this golf cart?
You know, he does this when I'm not around. Here's the thing: is obviously we're open on Saturday, so I take a day off during the week, and it's that day that all the weird stuff shows up, and I never hear about it. I just find it. I'll walk in and there's a golf cart, you know, or here's a Hapco welder.
You were there for the Hapco welder.
I wasn't there when the Hapco welder got purchased.
Okay.
Do you know how much that Hapco welder is worth if this was 40 years ago?
I bought a Hapco welder in 1984.
What did that one cost?
For $5,000, $5,500.
So that means this one's got to be worth at least $300.
A new Hapco welder is worth $14,000 if you can find them.
This is not a new one.
That's a used one that I got a deal on, and I've got it in case I ever need to weld.
You won't. I didn't move it. Tom moved it when we moved into the new building.
Yeah,
I refused.
Because
I'm not helping you. There was too much whining. I'm not doing it.
There was too much whining going on.
This is why we're not a more successful business than we are. Because you spend all our money on Hapco welding.
No, I didn't spend much money. Here's the thing. Who owns the business? Who runs? Who pays the bills for the business?
I'll tell you who runs the business.
Who runs your paycheck every week?
I just
am incidental. You know, I come in and I come in early and leave late. That's all I do. Anyway, our phone You know, we have a shtick. You come in, we'll do the shtick for you. You buy a car.
This isn't even a shtick. This is just the way it is, day in, day out. People come in and they're like, this is exactly like the radio. I'm like, yeah, we're not faking anything on the radio.
Here's the thing. About a month ago, this young man came in and bought a car. And he saw some banjo thing I had up on the wall. And he solicited me to play the banjo and would not take no for an answer.
Yeah.
That's my kind of customer right there. Fortunately, I just happened to have one at the shop and just happened to have two sets of finger picks in case I lose some. That was the thing when we moved. I kept finding finger picks that I had buried in other parts of the shop.
No, he's on the radio right now.
Okay. They're looking for me everywhere. That wasn't the sheriff, was it?
It might have been the sheriff.
Okay.
Now, this is the guy who's picking up his Honda.
Okay. All right. Let's go over to line one. Let's get some callers in here. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Well, good morning, Tom.
There he
good
is.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Have you? Did you talk to Wayne after I spoke to him?
I talked to him last Sunday there for about half an hour.
Well, he called on I think it was Wednesday he called. So we're getting set up. I have to text him the governor's phone line that Pete's just called in on.
Where am I calling that week?
And then we're going to coordinate with you two guys as to when we want to do this.
Well, okay. Yeah. It should be an interesting time. Wayne's got an awful lot of stories. Boy.
Yeah. He didn't want to be on the radio without you, Tom. So I don't take that as an insult. He just said we got so many stories. So, and I know, I'm sure he does. But told me he's got a Waverly and a Baker Electric coming in. And I am so freaking jealous.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, isn't that something? Oh, huh? Boy, his own personal collection is quite amazing. I got a tour of it about a year and a half ago, and like I said, his recall—he's got a story behind every car. That's the interesting thing about it—the history and the, you know, originality and whatnot. So, now the reason why I'm calling in today is, aside from anything political, heaven forbid, is there any reason that you can think of other than politics that why the price of gas is going out of sight? I mean, I'm up. I just got gas down here in Dover. It's $2.84.9 a gallon. And, you know, we're not jumping up just a couple of cents a gallon. It's going up 6-8 cents a gallon every time, you know, it changes.
Well,
it's crazy.
To stand in probably directly opposite of what anybody who's going to text me in the next 5 minutes is going to say. It's not political. It is from the storms they had down in Texas. And I can't imagine that our friends at Exxon, Shell, and the rest care whether it's a Democrat or Republican as long as they can take advantage. I think there's probably price gouging going on because, my God, we had a storm in Texas. You know, any opportunity to squeeze some, 20, 30, 50 cents out of us extra, it happens.
Market supply and demand and whatever's fabricated.
And I assume they had, I'll be fair and say maybe, in fact, you know, it's what they said it was. They had problems at the refineries. They just weren't winter. I guess winterized would be the term to use because it was winter in Texas, at least for that week or so. And how could you not? How could you have billions of dollars invested in refineries and not weatherize them just because you're in Texas? Where do get weather down there, but that's why we're not running it, though. We don't know.
I'm one of these stingy people. I've only been in the habit of getting $10 worth of gas at a time. And, boy, it's cut into it quite a bit. I mean, you just go, maybe two-thirds of the way that I did, last summer as far as the quantity versus the price of the gas was.
The kicker, here's the deal that I wind up dealing with. Guys who take cars to the auction, many of them have the perverse idea that we should run this car as low as we can on gas.
It's horrible.
So, And so, you know, and I'll be on fumes to get to a gas station if I bought a car at the auction. I get in and go, oh, geez.
Yeah.
But we have about 20 to 30 cars that we have to keep gas in at any given time.
Yeah.
And I lose track. I had a customer go out on a test drive the other day. He came back and says, I don't think he's got enough gas. I was embarrassed. I actually went with a gas can to the gas station. He was nice enough to wait, wound up buying the car. I said, let me go get gas. You know, the gas station is 2 miles away, 3 miles away from us. But, you know.
Well, you know, it's almost as aggravating as being in the business and having customers drop off cars. And then you get in at the road test or to, you know, find out what's going on. And, you know, the reserve light has either been on for a while, so you have no idea how much gas is left.
Yeah.
And I always keep gas around because as soon as I see anything with that reserve light on, I put a couple of gallons of gas in it so I don't have to walk back.
Yeah.
So,
we had a customer with a Prius with a gauge that wasn't working right. And they were out of gas, but it said it was the third full. And I got it running. I took it out for a test drive, and it stalled right at the next driveway. And fortunately, being a Prius, I was able to get it back into my driveway on electric. And I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to put some gas in this. And lo and behold, worked fine. And
gauges do lie.
Yeah.
They do lie.
They do.
All right. Well, good.
Okay.
Good,
thanks,
fellas. Take
Talk
care.
To you soon. Bye-bye.
I'll tell you why gas prices are going up.
Uh-oh, here we go. Yep.
Hollow Earth.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Earth is hollow. There's lizard people in there.
Okay.
And they're manipulating the markets. They control everything. The moon is hollow also.
Okay. Thank you, Pete.
Welcome.
Okay.
They go back and forth between the moon and the Earth in their hollow bases and their lizard rockets. Get on YouTube. You'll learn something.
I'm looking at this text message here. I gave it 5 minutes, and here we go. Got to hand it to you. That was a great explanation of a bunch of BS about the oil industry. They probably hire you as the mainstream in the mainstream media. Okay,
you're making friends wherever you go.
I know. That's what I do.
Yep.
Welcome to talk radio. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800.
You know what? I got a little kudos shout out that's completely unrelated to this to change the subject.
Okay, I've got a caller. I hit the button.
Right.
So why don't we get them and then we'll go to your
call. All right, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi.
You're talking to Papa Bear there, and you were complaining about the gas going up, as is everybody else. I hear this morning on the radio that our good governor's going to raise income taxes up to 11% too.
Okay.
Joe Biden's going to go up with his taxes, so start to crying right now because it ain't going to get done yet.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Go ahead, Pete.
So my good friend Rachel, and this is new for her,
mm-hmm.
She replaced her own toilet seat.
Well, good.
Never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, you can do that without question. Then you know what she did? She went and changed her mom's toilet seat.
Wow.
I said, I know grown men that can't do this.
Well, there.
So, credit where it's due. She's coming along as a home improvement expert.
Well, you know, I remember when I was a kid, the toilet, you know, the internals of the toilet, they have the float to turn the valve on and off.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was all metal. Now it's all plastic. The metal would corrode. And
but
my mother...
Plastic wears out.
Yeah, plastic wears out, but the metal would corrode. And my mother, she... being Italian, being an immigrant, she was into working on the innards in the toilet. And I'll never forget her messing around trying to fix the ball float in the toilet and ultimately having to go out and buy a new one. But she would go at it, and she fixed the toilet eventually.
It must be hereditary because I've been elbow deep in a toilet before.
Yeah, we all have, and it's just great fun.
But the big thing with when you're changing the seat, I told her the one piece of advice. I said, have cleaning stuff nearby.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You're about to experience 30 years of previous owners.
Yes. Well, that'd be the first. If I get a house and we're not changing the toilet out, that's the first thing we do is we put a new seat in.
The seat. Yeah.
Yep. And
it's like a whole new toilet. It basically is a bathroom remodel when you swap out that toilet seat because it's like a whole different.
It's
sitting in a different room.
Yeah. Got a text message here. Does Prius come in an all-wheel drive car? Yes, it does. For 2020 or 2021, they have front-wheel drive, which is the gas/hybrid electric, and then the rear wheels to give it all-wheel drive are electric motors. So you can get all-wheel drive Prius. I don't know if you can get it in Corolla as well. I know Prius you can. I'm not sure you can on Corolla. We got a call here on line one. Let's see what we got. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Oh, no. I'm on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, I think I've solved the whole oil crisis and the gas price crisis all by myself.
Okay.
Single-handedly.
Good.
Now, the earth might be hollow.
There you go.
You can dig to a certain depth, okay? It's safe. So I've come up with an idea that if you dig a tunnel straight to Mars, you're going to be fine.
Okay.
That's where the gas is.
You can't dig a tunnel straight to Mars because of the water that's in the way.
Oh, see, that's why Pete's here making the big bucks. Oh, man. Good morning.
You're going to hit those underground oceans.
Yeah. Another one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, on the real side, I think gasoline degrades after it sits for 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the companies who want to make all the money they can will bring the price down because of supply and demand. Does that make sense?
Does make sense to me. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It is supply and demand.
I think if you trim it out properly, you can box the windows in, and you don't have to worry about water leaking. If you, I think if you angle that base, the base of the sill down, and you flatten everything properly, you're going to be fine.
Okay, I don't trust myself to do that. I've seen too many leaks, and it just seems to common sense to bring the window out to that outer plane. It sheds water, easy peasy. There's no major issues with flashing. And, you know, whatever you're using for sealant is going to leak or potentially fail at some point. So that's where I'm at with it.
But that is true. But if you seal it properly, you probably won't live there by the time it has a problem.
That's true. Well, I could be, I've always maintained I could be dead soon, and that solves a lot of the issues.
Yeah.
So
this is the next owner's problem. Good enough for now.
There was we were building our first house. The guy who was building the house for me, his father was doing some work for us, and his father's favorite saying was, "Good enough considering who it's for." And I think he meant me. I've been entertaining the notion of building another house. I haven't built a house for myself in a while. And I've kind of whetted my appetite doing the addition, although if I was doing a whole house, I would have a crew of younger people doing the framing for me just to get the shell up quickly. And
maybe
then
the slab, too.
Yeah, I don't know. We had a pretty good crew for the slab. Those guys knew what they were doing.
That was a very intense, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah. Pete and I did the slab. It was only 16 feet wide, so we had an 18-foot screed board, and we just screeded it out because it was a crawl space. So
a lot of huffing and puffing that morning.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Doing something like that, it doesn't have to be finished perfect because it's a crawl space. It's just, it's not a finished floor.
And all the foundation guys, their eyes are crossing right now. They're like, yeah, foundation doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's just a whole building.
Yeah, we have a foundation guy listening to the show because he's been in with a car.
The furious fingers.
And I would seriously would entertain having him come do it instead of me. And the reason being that I then find the imperfections that cause me to have to adjust as I start to do what I do. Which reminds me of the building we have that our shop is in. We had a group of Hispanic guys came up from North Carolina to put up the shell. We bought the it was a steel building. And the guy couldn't pronounce the head of the crew's name was Moses. And he calls me up. He goes, "Mr. Tom," he couldn't pronounce my last name, "I need to show you something." And I go over there and he says, "Mr. Tom, your slab is not level." I said, "I know that. I put it in.
It's in plane. It's just it's not level on the ground.
It's not level with anything other than maybe the hollow part in the middle of the earth."
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I know. So we went round and round a little bit. He says, you know, I gotta trim the adjust the studs such as they are to steel. I said, okay. He says, that's gonna be $300 more. I said, okay.
Go for it.
I'm still way ahead of the game. Speaking of being ahead of the game, Pete, we're out of time.
Oh, shoot. I had a few more things I wanted to talk about with gas prices, but I guess we'll have to...
Yeah, I want to talk about gas more, too.
Yeah.
Next week, Conspiracy Week. How's that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to go any further.
All right. I'm going to hit Frank Sinatra right now because... there we go.
All right.
We'll see you next week, same time. We're not talking conspiracies or politics next week, so just be prepared. Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye. Doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles,